Hi everyone, it's another episode of Everyday Echoes and I'm excited to have Akash with me here. Akash Akita, how do you feel?
I'm good.
Is this your first podcast?
It is,
I feel honored.
No, the honor is mine. Yeah, the honor is yours. I don't know. Just thank you for having
me. How's been your day?
It's been good. It's been busy, but it's also been chill. Yeah. It's just been working
from home. Staying on your bed, going from left to right.
Relaxing,
that's so cool.
Yeah, so it's been chill, but also busy. We just started training at work.
Okay.
So I'm just training in HR.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing so far.
That's nice. So what's been the most fun thing you've done this year, really?
This year so far?
Yeah.
We're only like a
2 months.
Yeah, like, a month and a half in. Yeah. But the most fun thing I've done is I went stargazing.
Oh.
Yeah.
You do weird stuff, bro. And this was because, like, I'm not saying this to say that whoever goes stargazing, he told me backstory. So I'm like,
yeah, we just have to filter stuff out. But no, it was nice. But I went stargazing with a friend of mine, and we just sat and just talked about God and admired his beauty, actually.
Oh, nice.
We looked up and we were like, this is the same sky that God looked up and told Abraham to look up to and count the stars, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same sky. And we were just like, wow, God, you
but
really
he couldn't
are.
Count it.
He couldn't count it. There was too many.
Too many. Man.
Yeah, too many stars, honestly. And it's just so beautiful. God's creation, God's beauty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, it was nice. I would say that's the most fun
that's
thing
awesome I think I'll try it sometime.
We could go.
No with you. I'll go with another person. I'm too scared to go with you. Nice. Oh well.
How's your week been? You've been up to?
Not bad, just school, work, and just taking a day at a time. Just pushing it.
Nice. Talking about school, this is my first time in a uni.
Yeah.
So
I feel very privileged. It feels like God wanted you to come to a uni then. I was surprised when you said, oh, I was like, Akash, can you come for the podcast? You're like, yeah, that's fine. I was expecting you to say, why?
No, anytime. I'm free.
Yeah.
I do whatever anyone wants to, you know?
For real?
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
So if I want you to clean my toilet, you'd be available.
Let me know. But the craziest thing I want to do is skydiving.
Oh, I'll be so scared to do that.
Yeah.
But do you get someone attached to you?
I think at first, yes.
But the second time you do it by yourself?
Eventually. I think you have to license it.
No, I don't want to learn it. Wow, it was just...
Yeah. So
awesome,
that's
man.
What I'm saying. Just tell me anything you want to do. Let's do it.
No, with you. So how did your Christian journey start?
So it started in the middle of June.
Yeah.
No, in the middle of the year, 2023.
2023
was the year. Yeah. So I just started a probation.
Yeah.
With my job that I was working at before.
Yeah.
And I was working this job a year and a half before.
Yeah.
But they just wanted us on a new contract and renew it, basically. And we had to go through a probation. And I was really good at this job, I must say. Like, I was good at it, especially after a year and a half. I should be a pro at what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And I would always speak up. I would always do my best and stand up for what's right. But my four managers didn't like that. They saw me as a threat because I would not stand up for what's wrong, but I would stand up for my colleagues and for everyone in general for what's right, you know? So they didn't like that. So they used the probation as
a tool to get you out.
A tool to get me out, literally.
That's that.
And I wasn't a Christian at the time.
Yeah.
You could just call me a Christian by namesake. I had left
God. What do you feel on forms when they ask religion?
When I was
like when you're filling when you're filling forms, like they ask you, oh, what religion are you in?
I would say I just believe in anything.
Nice.
I left God
when
I was 13 years old to wander the world by myself.
Yeah.
So I was looking into a lot of different things that I shouldn't have.
Yeah, wild. I must say, like, really wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like wildest things you can imagine and stuff like that, until something floated my boat. We can't really say on here, but something came through. But Yeah.
But how did you feel in those moments where you were trying something else? Did you feel a sense of fulfillment?
No sense of fulfillment.
I feel when people don't feel a sense of fulfillment in doing something, then why do we keep doing it?
That's a good question. So I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
I wasn't fulfilled.
You said you were depressed.
I was depressed.
Were you sick?
I wasn't sick, but I was just depressed. I didn't want to do much.
And you were always crying.
I was always crying, yeah. If you know me, yeah. I cry all the time. Wow. So I'm a very emotional child. No fulfillment, but it was floating. This thing was working. This power.
Yeah.
It was working. So that's kind of what got me through, you know? That something's working, but I still wasn't at peace. I wasn't fulfilled. So that's where my probation came. They tried to get rid of me, this and that. And I got the union at work involved. And I was like, I really need this job. I was 19 years old. And I was like, I really need this job. And my union were like, okay, we'll fight your case for you because you have a strong basis, stuff like that. And I went home. And randomly, there was a Bible sitting in my room on my nightstand.
Yeah.
And I was pretty sure I'd given all my Bibles to my sisters and my mom and stuff like that. But this Bible was just in my room. So I pick it up and I go outside my room and I'm like, Mom, why is there a Bible in my room? It's like, I don't know. I've been shopping all day. Just leave it. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever. Go back in my room and I slam it on my nightstand. And I go to sleep that night. And the next day I go to work. And my managers couldn't find anything at all. Like, I didn't go home crying that day. They couldn't find a reason
to
fire me that day. Like, each day they would pick something small up to fire me. But they couldn't that day. And I didn't go home crying. I actually went home and I had peace. I was calm. I went home, had dinner, and I went to bed. And I look at the Bible on my nightstand and I'm like, you did something to the Bible.
Yeah.
So
whatever you did, I have to figure it out.
Literally, that was what I was feeling. So I pick it up and I start reading the first page of Genesis. And just while reading it, I go to sleep. And I woke up fresh.
Yeah.
I felt good about myself. I felt like something had shifted in me. And I went to work. The same, like their mouths were shut. They couldn't find anything. Okay. They couldn't say anything. And I felt good. I didn't go home crying. And I went home that day. Same routine. Had dinner. Went to my room. And I look at this Bible and I'm like, okay, you're doing something. You're working. And I continue reading it. And the more I read it, the more powerful I felt. The more fulfilled I felt. Like, it was like God was doing something now.
The more relieved you felt, it was like burdens were being taken out of you.
Yeah, literally. It's like God was really coming through now. But my only question was, why did you not come through before? Why now?
Yeah.
That was my biggest question, just two words.
And I think it's the question a lot of people ask, is God late?
Yeah.
But I think God is never late.
He's never late, yeah.
He's just always in time.
Yeah.
So, like, at times, we want things to happen on our timing,
yeah.
But we must realize that we are part of a bigger plan.
Oh.
There's a master plan in the world right now. So we're just like a small piece in it. So everything has to probably fit together. So we should not always be so selfish or thinking or making everything always about us. This has to happen now in my time, in my season.
100%.
What about the next person? Your life might affect 10,000 other people.
Oh,
so 100%. God might just want to position you in the right place to ensure that, oh, this other people's lives don't get messed up too.
Yeah, literally. Honestly, so like before God came through, same question, why now? And day by day would go past. But ever since I had my encounter with the Word, they kind of froze. They couldn't get anything else. This was like the end of the third month. It was a 6-month probation. We were going into the fourth month. And the third night, I went home and I was like, God, I've got the union involved, but you're my union.
Yeah.
You'll fight this case for me. And then I went to work, still same prayer, like, God, you're my union, you're gonna fight for me, you'll come through for me, I'm putting my faith in you for the last chance. I don't know why now, but I'm giving you one last chance to prove to me you've always been there for me. And eventually we come to the end of my probation. Four managers sitting across me.
Managers that have been wanting to fire you.
Yep.
Just sitting across you.
Sitting across
me. Looking into your eyes.
Yep.
That means you had about 8 eyes on you. Like,
oh, yeah.
8 eyeballs.
But weirdly, I was just calm.
Yeah.
I was confident in God at the time. I was like, whatever happens, God, I believe you'll give me this job.
Yeah.
And the two union lawyers were sitting next to me. And just, they were fighting my case. They had no reason to fire me. I should be good at my job instead of worst at my job, especially if I'm doing it for a year and a half before. And I was just zoned out. And eventually I hear the words, congratulations, Mr. Akash, you've passed your probation. And as soon as I heard that, I just broke down.
I'm sorry, crying.
I started crying and I just felt this warm hug, like warm blanket come over me.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I felt God.
Yeah.
I was like, God, you done this. The four managers, they got up, threw half and a half, they sighed and they left.
Yeah.
And the two union lawyers were like, it's okay, congratulations, well done, we got this, we've done this. And I said, thank you, and they left. And I just remember sitting there crying to God. I was like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Why now?
I'm sure before you said, oh, if God did this for you, you would spend the rest of your life serving him.
Yeah. So the night before of this big meeting, I was just praying to God. I was like, if you do win this for me, I promise to give you my life. And if you know me, I don't make any promises because the Bible tells us not to really make promises that we can't keep. So, but this was the one and only promise I've ever made in my whole life. And I was like, God, I promise if you do this for me, I'll give you my life. Like, my life is yours. And he did. He came through.
No.
He won the case.
You have to keep your side of the deal.
Oh, I am. I am, 100%.
Yeah.
I go home that night and full of joy, full of emotion, full of warmth. My cold heart was warm.
Yeah.
And I go to my room. I don't even have dinner. I don't want to eat. I just want to go and run to the Lord and Savior who picked me up from my mess. I close my door. I play like worship music. I just tell Siri to like play worship music out loud. And Siri's playing a worship playlist. And I just read my Bible and I'm praying. I'm crying. I'm like on the floor and stuff like that. But while I'm praying, I just start praying in the spirit. I start praying in tongues and I just felt the Holy Spirit in me and around me. And I knew for the first time in my whole life that there was someone who cared and someone who was there for me. And that was God. And I did keep my promise. Eventually, after a few weeks, my Instagram and TikTok started flooding with Christian youth in America. I didn't really have good friends before. Bad influence, bad friends and stuff like that. And I was like to God, this is the type of love, this is the type of friendship I want. Because if you know me, I have a really big heart.
Yeah.
And I just love people, I love kids, I love God, you know?
No, I'm scared of your love.
Should I say no homo to make it better?
No.
But I was like, that's the kind of love I want, Lord God. And I search up Christian youth in Glasgow and a church comes up and I go to that church and I meet two of the best people I've ever met, Godfrey and Jonathan. And Godfrey is like, let's go out for a movie, us three. So we go out for a movie and I start telling him about all my wrong decisions, about all the bad things in my life that had happened. This was around September, October time. And I forgot about this past. I was like, I don't need this past anymore. It's not me because I have Jesus now. But Godfrey was like, no, that's important. You have to get rid of your past and bring Jesus into it. and bring everything you've done wrong in the past to the light. And I don't know how I was telling him. It was like the spirit was just trying to get everything out of me. And he was like, okay, you just need to bring your past to church on Sunday. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll bring all my bad stuff, everything bad to church. And this, we watched Oppenheimer. I wouldn't recommend this movie. Worst movie I've ever watched in my whole life. This was on Friday. Saturday night, I go home, take everything bad out and put it on my desk. But that night, I was like, right, bad things, I'm taking you to church tomorrow. Bro.
That was the beginning of the battle.
That night, I couldn't sleep. I couldn't sleep all night. And I would say I only got like a 30-minute nap, couldn't sleep. I woke up. Well, I didn't really wake up. I'm like, right, I checked the time. And it's like, it's time for me to start getting ready for church. Like, my family, they don't really go to church on a Sunday. So I know that the bathroom's going to be free because I need to get ready for church. I go and my sister decides to have a full morning skincare and
beauty routine.
And I'm like, what is going on? You should be in bed. Like, you never do this on a Sunday. You want to wake up late and whatnot. And she's like, oh, fine, I'll come out. You can quickly get ready and stuff like that. So I get my bathrobe and I hang it up in the toilet. Bro, the biggest spider I've ever seen in my life is on the bathrobe. And I'm like, what is going on? I'm tired. I'm agitated. I'm exhausted.
You're scared.
I'm scared, obviously. I'm not scared of a spider.
I'm not scared of a spider, but a very big spider, I'm scared.
It's the biggest I've ever seen, honestly. So I go back out and I call my mom because I'm not killing that spider. Me at my big age of 19 is still calling his mom. So I call my mom and she's also shocked. She's like, where did the spider even come from? So she kills it. I shower and I get ready. I pick my things up that I need to take to church. And I leave. And you won't believe it. Every road in Glasgow was closed. Was closed that day.
Yeah.
And like, nothing was on. There was no football match. There was no run. It was just roadworks. And I was like, the devil really doesn't want to be delivered from my past. And I eventually get to church 5 minutes late. No, 5 minutes before. And I sit down next to Godfrey and this other guy. And I just can't sit still in church. I really love church. Like, I found my new love. That was Jesus Christ. And I really love church. I was never late. I was always the first one to be there and last one to leave. And for some reason, I couldn't sit in that church service at all. I wanted to leave. So just like the sermon started and I was like, I need to leave. So I asked the guy to move out my way and I go outside and I sit in the foyer on the sofa. And the guy on the door is like, hey, are you okay? And then I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. And he's like, you don't look okay. Do you want some water or something? And I'm like, no, just get me out of here. I don't want to be here. And then I have this friend who I was really close to. They go and get him. And they're like, hey, come get your bro. He's not the best. He's talking about wanting to leave church. I think the whole church knew that I never want to leave church. So that's how they knew something was wrong. So he comes and he's like, hey, man, let's go for a walk. And then I was like, yeah, just get me out of here, bro. So we go for a walk and halfway through, I'm like, where are we? We're late for church. And he's like, didn't you want to leave church? And I'm like, are you in your senses? When has Akash ever wanted to leave church? And he's like, okay, let's just go get a drink and we'll come back. And I'm like, oh, whatever, hurry up. Like, proper angry at him.
Yeah, you want to beat him up?
Yeah, because he knows me best. I never want to leave church. If you, like, get me a room and a bed, I will live in there. and he knows this. And then we get the drink. He's taking his sweet time. He's just talking about life. And I'm just agitated. I'm like, I just want to go to church. I didn't sleep the night before. I have important stuff to get rid of. So halfway through on the journey to church, I start saying I don't want to go back. And my friend is just confused. He's like, why don't you want to go back? And I'm like, no, I don't want to go back. It's not good there. And then I hear two buses driving by and I can't run, but I start sprinting to these buses and my friend just pulls me back in the nick of time and saves me, I guess. Yeah. Like, I would have been dead. The bus would have turned me into a pancake.
Pancake. Oh, yeah. Fluffy.
Yeah, the church would have been cleaning my corpse off the road.
God forbid.
But thank you, God. Yeah. And he was like, okay, we're dealing with something way more serious than ever. So we cross the road and we're outside church. And he's like, just come inside. And I'm like, no, I don't want to come inside. And he's like, what do you want? Then I was like, give me some water. It's hot where I come from. And then he's like, okay, come inside. There's water downstairs. And then I go inside and they start praying. Him and the guy at the door start praying for me. And I was being loud. I was like, stop it. I don't want this, this and that. And the guys from inside church come outside and they're like, can you take it somewhere else? You're being too loud. And then my friend was like, don't say that. That's the most dangerous thing you can say. And then they tried to get me downstairs. They were like, oh, there's cold water downstairs. Let's go downstairs. So we get downstairs and there wasn't any water there. My friend was fooling whatever was in me at the time. And I was holding these bad things in my hand that I had got before I was a Christian to try help me. They were like stones and crystals and whatnot. And yeah, they don't work. You know, they don't work. Put your faith in God.
Yeah.
He works.
Yeah, he works.
I was holding stuff in my hand and these other guys come to help because, like, it's bad to say, but I was strong. I was powerful. Five guys, literally five of the strongest guys in church, had to hold me down. And whatever was in me was saying, don't get Godfrey, don't get Godfrey. And my friend was like, don't get Godfrey. I'm going to get Godfrey. So he goes upstairs and the church service is still going on upstairs. And he's like, Godfrey, we need you. And then I think Godfrey had an idea on what happened because I didn't come back to my seat. And Godfrey comes downstairs and he's like, oh, he sees me there lying on the floor. And he's like, who are you? And then they go, we are Legion. And I didn't have much Bible knowledge or much understanding about these things. But to me, I wasn't there. I felt like I was in like a dark room, banging on the walls, screaming for help to get me out. I was like, it was like I was in the bad things that I was holding in my hand and the demons were like taking over me. And they were just praying and praying over me, holding me down, trying to get the stuff out of my hands. And eventually five guys had to open one finger and hold it each, while another pastor came and took what was in my hands and got it destroyed. And eventually, one by one, these demons start leaving and I start coming out of the dark room that I was in. Like, I didn't know what was happening. I was confused when I woke up. I was like, guys, what's happening? Where am I? I was very weak. I was very weak, in fact. Two guys had to carry me back up. They gave me some water and some sugary stuff to drink and have because I was weak, very weak in fact. Then I went home and I felt good. I felt lighter. I felt free. Like God had my past, present and future. He had everything. I was very tired. I was weak. Didn't get much sleep the night before. My cousin and my brother were at home and I was like to them, sorry guys, I can't chill. I'm going up to my room to sleep. I've had a crazy, crazy few days. And I go upstairs, I lie in my bed and I'm just tossing and turning. And eventually I just lie straight with my hands on my side and I feel this hand on my hand and I shift my head towards my right hand. And I can see a hand holding my hand with a hole in the hand. And as soon as I see the hand, we're like transformed into heaven. And it's the first time I actually saw heaven. God took me to heaven. And we're in heaven while I'm asleep, and God's holding my hand. Jesus is holding my hand. And I'm wearing beautiful white clothes, sandals on my feet. There was a bright light and a temple up in the distance with stairs leading up to it. There was houses, there were roads of gold and everything. And I was like to this person next to me, I had a feeling it was Jesus because the hold in his hands, you know, sorry. I asked him, where are we? And he was like, we are at home. We are where you belong. And I was peace. I was at peace. I knew I was safe. And I just had so many questions. I was like, what's that bright light? And he was like, that's the Father. That's his temple. That's who we worship. Then I was like, wow. For me, it was like 20 minutes. But when I woke up and checked the time, 3 hours had passed. Eventually, I stopped my Q&A with Jesus, and he brings me back to earth. And I remember him sitting on my bedside, still holding my hand. And he was like, don't worry, my child, I'll be back for you again soon. And as soon as he let go of my hand, I wake up. And I go down to my family, and they were like, hey, how are you feeling? My cousin and my brother were sitting watching a movie. And I was like, I'm feeling good. I don't know if you'll believe me, but I just came from heaven. And both of them were like, yeah, we believe you. Then I was like turning around and I was like, you believe me? He's like, yeah, you sound different and you're glowing. And I was like, I'm so happy you believe me, because literally I just met with Jesus and I was in heaven. And in the meantime, my mom and my auntie are opening the door. And they come in and they're like, what's wrong? Then I was like, nothing, I just came from heaven. And they look at my cousin and my brother and they're like, yeah, you're glowing. What, really? And I was like, yeah, I finally know that I have purpose. I finally know that God is there with me. And that's how I came to Christ. That's my story.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Like, that's very interesting. Now I'm not scared of you again.
I forgot to tell you that before.
Yeah. We should have started with that part instead of the one you told me earlier. So lastly, before we just wrap up, if you were to talk about the love of God, what does the love of God mean to you? How has it been able to transform your walk with Him?
For me?
Yeah.
The love of God is everything. Like, it's hard to explain. Now, I see myself how Jesus would see me.
Yeah.
You know? I don't look at the same Akash that was there, the BC version, the before Christ version.
Yeah.
But now I see myself how Jesus would see me. And I love how God would love. You know, John 3:16. He loved us so much that he gave his one and only son. You know, that hits me every time, that there was someone who was willing to die for me. And love is God for me. I don't know where I would be without him now. Every time I think about love, I just think about God and Jesus and his love and sacrifice. I actually have this quote from my before Christ version. Is like, why wish upon a star when you can pray to the Creator? You know, because the stuff I told you before I was doing and stuff, why pray to a star when you can pray to its Creator, who's Yahweh, God of everything? So, yeah. Wow.
Like, your story is touching, you know. I never knew, like, knowing you, seeing you, you know, I didn't know this was wild, man.
Yeah.
very interesting story.
When you catch the Holy Spirit, there's no going back.
Yeah.
There's no going back.
It's just something you just love. It makes you happy.
Yeah.
It makes you glad.
It's like, he is joy. He is real joy.
Like, real
and
joy.
I just want to circle back. Yeah. He is fulfillment.
Yeah.
Now I have
purpose,
fulfillment, and I have the warmth and strength.
Knowing that every day you're doing what you intend to do.
Yeah.
and also knowing that you're not alone.
Yeah.
Is watching over you.
Literally.
Day in, day out.
Yeah. So
the love of God is like so amazing. I always say, tell people how, like, I can't just wrap my head around it, saying that an immortal came on earth to be immortal, to die for immortal like me, because he doesn't need anything from me to still be God.
Yeah.
The reason why we say God cannot change, God does not change like shifting shadows, because he has a constant state.
Yeah.
God is neither, like, people try to compare, oh, like gas, liquid, solid. No, like those forms, they change. But I'm saying, like, oh, God is just God. God 20 years ago is still God now.
Yeah.
So it's just the faithfulness of God, the love of God. It transcends a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. I don't know, like, how people just live their lives, like,
without finding God.
Yeah.
Without, like, knowing him.
Yeah. I'm like, how can you find joy and peace?
Yeah. Really? And it breaks my heart, honestly. Yeah. Because the boy I used to be before Jesus was no one.
Yeah.
He was just a cold, depressed little saddo. But now I'm everything with Jesus.
Yeah.
I know who I am.
Yeah.
And I actually remember this other quote before I found Jesus. I was praying to God the night before that, if you do this for me, I will give you my life. And the quote goes like this: when you fall on your knees to ask God for favor, remember to fall back on the same knees and the same floor to thank him.
Yeah.
You know, we should always just run back to the Father and thank him for everything he does, even the small things.
Yeah, the smallest things.
Yeah. Like, sometimes we won't even realize, but it's God working.
Yeah.
He walks our footsteps.
Yeah.
No.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow. It's been an amazing time, Akash.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you for sharing
a little gift for you.
Wow. Like, I'll have to post it here so I can see Akash's gifts, guys.